worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. Then looking in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All of Romans chapter 12. Lord, thank you once again for the wonderful privilege of being able to come to you in prayer each and every day, and the great privilege and opportunity and honor of being able to open your word and spend time one-on-one with you every single day. Lord, with every passing day, empower us more and more to be the praying individuals and the praying church you've called us to be, and empower us to be a people that are committed to reading, studying, and living in your word each and every day. Help us to know, Lord, that your word is the key to all of life, the key to everything. And help us to live in that word and be vessels that are full of your word each and every day as well. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, and your peace today. Use us to be faithful ambassadors for you and your kingdom everywhere we go. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus is our resting place. Heavenly Father, help us to grow in resting in him. And Heavenly Father, I know that Jesus is so very active. He is constantly with those who are hurting, with those who are in need, with those who are crying out, with those who are walking in repentance. And Heavenly Father, help us to rest more in all that Jesus does. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We continue to be in the midst of our National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child now through the 24th. And remember, when you get involved with this wonderful outreach, you're helping to send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Every shoebox gift is an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ and the love of God. Would you share a little bit more, Isaac, with our listeners about this great project to get involved with?
Absolutely. So Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child does take that shoebox gift, and it fills it with toys or school supplies or personal care items, and they send them to children around the world, specifically children in need. So they send them out to hard-to-reach areas and even a bunch of unreached people groups, and it is a tangible way to express God's love while delivering the message of the good news of Jesus. So it's a great way to spread the gospel through a practical means. Samaritan's Purse, you can find out more about what they're doing with this at samaritanspurse.org/OCC. That's samaritanspurse.org/OCC. They have a lot of instructions of what kind of stuff you can pack in there, what stuff they suggest you keep out of the boxes, and just try to go learn more about this amazing project.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing, Isaac. And of course, keep in mind to every listener, anyone can pack a shoebox. Individuals can do it. Families, churches, and groups can fill empty shoeboxes with school supplies, personal care items, and fun toys, such as dolls or soccer balls. During National Collection Week, which of course is this week again, Samaritan's Purse will collect the gift-filled shoeboxes at nearly 5,000 different drop-off locations in all 50 states and Puerto Rico as well. So once again, to get more information about this outreach or to get involved, go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC to learn more or to find out where a drop-off location near you is, or to just simply learn more about how you can plug into this wonderful outreach. Again, that's samaritanspurse.org/OCC to learn more about that outreach. As we often do in the midst of our broadcasting, we want to share with you one or two more discipleship tools. This first one is entitled Walking Out Your Calling. And remember, our goal is that you'll have it as a tool for your own walk with the Lord, a tool for the discipling of your family, but also a tool to forward and share with fellow church members, family members, fellow workers on the job, saved or unsaved individuals. That's what these kinds of tools, they can be seeds in the lives of others. The title of this first article is Walking Out Your Calling. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 tells us, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." And then in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Again, Jeremiah 1, 5. And I might add, this particular article often may be read during the month of May around graduation time, but it's relevant for any person at any time. Every year during the month of May, we have the opportunity to attend maybe one, maybe many graduations where everything from high school diplomas to postgraduate degrees are conferred. Commencement addresses can be very interesting to listen to oftentimes, sometimes amusing, but too often they can be pretty disappointing for these reasons. Commencement speakers are usually gifted orators who use the occasion to display their knowledge, to praise the graduates for their accomplishments, to hold up high expectations for them and assure them of a bright future. But too often, the speaker fails to include God or the will of God in the equation of the graduates' lives and their futures. How tragic. If God is mentioned at all, it's too often only in an obligatory afterthought. Graduates are challenged to pursue their dreams, fulfill their desires, and make their own way. They're usually told to clearly identify their calling and go after it with all their might. Again, how tragic when God is left out of the picture. The reality is that God chooses your calling, not you. See Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. We're not to decide what we want to do in life and then ask God to bless it. We're to pray and seek God for his call on our lives. Like the Apostle Paul, we're wise to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? See Acts chapter 9, verse 6. It's been said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Before you get upset that God decides your calling rather than you, consider this first. God made you. He designed you. He molded and shaped you to excel and shine for his glory as you live out the calling he gave you. God knows you better than you know yourself. You were made specifically to carry out the call he has given you, and no one in the universe is designed to carry out the specific call on your life but you. So be mindful of this truth. You were created to succeed at what God has called you to do. Your God-designed calling empowers you to live out your purpose in this world. The most exciting, fulfilling, and satisfying life you can possibly live is the life you live as you walk out God's calling on your life. The wisest and best way you can possibly live is the life of embracing and running after the call of God on your life. But his calling on your life must be accepted and lived out faithfully. God is not going to change his mind. See Romans chapter 11, verse 29. You can accept his calling and live it out by the power of the Holy Spirit, becoming a great blessing to the world. Or you can run from your calling. However, doing so will only lead to a very frustrated, unfulfilled life, much like getting swallowed by a big fish. See Jonah chapters 1 through 4. And it will result often in a life that has wasted a lot of money, energy, and time. And be aware of this. Wasted time is wasted life. Then maybe after years of frustration, if you live long enough, you can say, okay, God, I will now do what you told me to do years ago. My recommendation is to say yes to the Lord and his will right now, stepping into a more blessed life today. God and his will for your life is the best thing that can happen to you and all the rest of us. Again, the title of that article, Walking Out Your Calling. And then the final one then that we want to briefly share, this article is entitled, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. Again, an attitude of gratitude is its own reward. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why is it so important to give thanks to God in the good times and the bad, in the sunshine and in the rain? Well, for one reason, life is a gift. Another reason is thanksgiving and praise are powerful weapons that help you to be an overcomer and a winner in life. See 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is true no matter what the obstacles or trials you face in life. Allow me to share a tremendous illustration of this reality. Francis had what many would consider a tough, tragic, and troubled life. A doctor's error left her at six weeks of age with lifelong blindness. Her father passed away when she was very young. She was raised by her mother and grandmother. Many in today's world would believe that Frances had plenty of reasons to be unhappy, depressed, and without hope. However, in her autobiography, Frances June Crosby chose to write these amazing words. It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation. The doctor who made the mistake moved away. However, Francis wrote, if I could meet him now, I would say to that doctor, thank you over and over again for making me blind. Though many may conclude that living a life with blindness would be a sad, disappointing life, Francis considered it to be one of her greatest blessings. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, reading an article entitled, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were sharing from a discipleship article entitled An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward, picking up further on with that article. Francis had what many would consider a tough, tragic, and troubled life. A doctor's error left her at 6 weeks of age with lifelong blindness. Her father passed away when she was very young. She was raised by her mother and grandmother. Many in today's world would believe Frances had plenty of reasons to be unhappy, depressed, and without hope. However, in her autobiography, Frances June Crosby chose to write these amazing words. It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation. The doctor who made the mistake later moved away. However, Frances wrote, "If I could meet him now, I would say, thank you, over and over again for making me blind." Though many would conclude that living a life with blindness would be a sad, disappointing life, Frances considered it to be one of her greatest blessings. She considered her blindness to be a gift from God. She said, "I could not have written thousands of hymns if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice." By the way, many know Frances June Crosby so much better by the name Fanny Crosby, the great hymn writer and songwriter. Fanny Crosby blessed the church and the world with songs that include Blessed Assurance, To God Be the Glory, Redeemed, All the Way My Savior Leads, and many others. She is a tremendous example of one who lived with a grateful spirit and with an attitude of gratitude. Having this attitude was a great blessing to her, and she in turn continues to be a great blessing to the church and to the world to this day. Make it your goal to thank God in all circumstances, for even in tough times, God really does run our cups over in blessing in so many ways. See Psalm 23, verse 5. Take time to thank and praise God for his goodness. Don't focus on the negative things in life. Focus on the blessings. It will change your whole attitude on life. Also, being grateful to God for his goodness will stir up your joy. Be mindful, too, that being genuinely grateful makes you instantly rich in the truest sense of the word. Ask God to anoint you today with the spirit of praise and gratitude. Instead of complaining about the rain, thank God for watering his beautiful world for free. Instead of complaining about not feeling well, thank God that you're alive. Instead of complaining about having to clean your house, thank God that you have a home to live in. Instead of being impatient with family members, thank God for the gift your loved ones are to you. Instead of complaining about your job, thank God that you have a job and an income. Instead of complaining about the world, thank God for the opportunity to pray and help change the world to be a better place. Give thanks in all things, and do remember this, being a genuinely grateful person will bless you tremendously. Crosby lived out both the literal and biblical meaning of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, but by doing so obediently, she became an example of Colossians 3, 23, and gave her praise to God for thousands of tongues to sing. Praise and thank God daily and often. Living life with an attitude of gratitude really is its own reward. Again, the title of that article, An attitude of gratitude is its own reward. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We are very honored to have with us in studio today Brother Cameron Triplett. Brother Cameron is a gentleman I had the privilege of meeting in the Tupelo community just a few weeks ago, but has led a really interesting life and is a believer that loves the Lord. And so I have the privilege of having him to come on and to share about his own journey with the Lord. Cameron, how are you today?
Man, I'm great. How you doing?
Real good, real good.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you for having me. I'm happier than a fat puppy chasing a slow car to be here. This is an honor.
All right. Well, I'm honored to have you to come in studio, and I'm going to ask if you to just share a little bit, kind of further introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we want to dive right in and let you share about your testimony, your journey with the Lord.
All right. Well, my name's Cameron Triplett. I was born in Tennessee, but at 6 months old, we moved to Mississippi, and I've kind of been there most of my life. Moved to Atlanta for a little while. We'll get into that a little bit later, and then moved back to Mississippi. Mm-hmm. But grew up in church, and my grandmother had a real instrumental part in me, you know, developing who I was.
You know, interesting, a lot of grandmas have a great impact on their grandchildren to help them to come to know the Lord one way or another.
God bless grandma. And she helped me in more ways than one. So I was saved back in 2004, my early 20s. Mm-hmm. But I've always been intrigued with pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in professional wrestling, you kind of have to have a thick skin kind of mentality. You got to be kind of tough.
Right.
That's physically and mentally, so to
speak. Say the least.
Yeah, sure. So I've always been enjoyed working out and all that stuff. Well, my grandmother, I mean, now this is, I was 7, 8, 9, real young.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she really helped me to become thick skinned relatively early in my life. I'd be at her house singing. And I'd be singing my heart out. And, Grandma, this is for you. I just want you to know I made the radio. This is my first time being on the radio, and I made the radio. She used to tell me, son, she'd let me finish the song. Son, I wish you were on the radio so I could turn it off. Well, here I am, Mama. I'm on the radio. God bless your soul. God rest her soul. So,
okay.
She's been on to be with the Lord for you know, quite some time now, but I figured she'd get a kick out of that.
I expect she did, so.
Yeah.
Even from heaven.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And so, but anyway, so early in life, you had an interest in getting involved in wrestling then.
I did. I don't know. I've always been intrigued back with the cartoonish type characters, big muscled up guys, the Hulk Hogan's and the Ultimate Warriors and the Big Boss Men's and all those characters of the WWF. So used to just love watching those. Was at my other grandmother's house, and I'd sit there at the TV watching them, and I remember she wasn't too happy with me at the time, but I remember having a bottle of Flintstones vitamins, and I was eating them like Skittles, and I had eaten the whole, like, about half the bottle, and she took them away from me, and I was bouncing off the walls. So she, but just always had a love for that, and I said, I'd like to do that when I get older. So sure enough, I was probably in my early to mid-20s, it's back in 2007. So, yeah, it was about 3 years after I got saved. I hauled off and went to Atlanta, Georgia, and trained under a guy named Mr. Hughes. Real big black guy, wore suspenders, sunglasses, did a bodyguard gimmick, and wrestled in the WWF and WCW and WWE. So I had a really, really phenomenal trainer. So
he was training you to become a wrestler?
Right, yes, sir. He had a school there. He had a school there in Atlanta, so I moved over there for 9 months. And
so you were a Christian wrestler in Atlanta?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Mr. Hughes is a great godly man, too, so wonderful human being, wonderful teacher, so I definitely learned a lot from him. After about 3 months, he took me on the road with him. We were going to Memphis wrestling and just kind of all over the places, so we were having a good time and you know, just wrestling and enjoying it and learning the ropes. I was learning the ropes. I guess he knew them, so.
So you were a professional wrestler for a number of years then?
Yes, sir. Till about 2017, and that's when I had my accident. I had a mishap here in Mississippi, North Mississippi, and was wrestling a match, and I was supposed to take a face bump where we just kind of fall flat on my face. And for whatever reason, in my brain, the last second, I tucked my head. and my head drove straight into the mat, and I broke my C3 and C4. And I didn't know anything was wrong. Everything went numb. I knew something was wrong, but I thought it was a bad stinger or something like that. And, you know, the guy rolled me over and put me in his finisher move, and we finished the match, which that was, thankfully, that was the only other thing we had to do. And long story kind of short, I rolled over and about laid there for, it seemed like an eternity. It probably wasn't more than 10 minutes. They wanted to bring a table over, and I said, no, I'll walk. I'm okay, because my feelings started coming back, but I had this inordinate amount of pain up and down the right side of my neck. And like I said, I was like, man, it's probably a bad stinger or something. And so I was a bad guy. In the wrestling business, we call it heels. I was a bad guy this match. And I remember this little old lady. I had my arms draped around my manager, and maybe my tag team partner. Was a tag team match. And I remember walking to the back, and this little old lady in the front row, she said, "You got your tail whooped." And I was like, "Lady, if you only knew, like, I'm in a lot of pain right now." But long story short, I was going to go see a chiropractor friend of mine the next morning after church. And he never received the message. And so there was a paramedic there in the audience. And said, "Man, I really think you should go to the doctor, go to the hospital." I said, "Well, okay, I'll drive myself to the hospital." He said, "No, like, let's just go here to the local hospital. We'll drive you." I said, "Okay, thank you." So we went, and they wheeled me up there because they said it was a neck injury. They didn't want me walking and all that, because I'd been walking around, albeit it was very slowly. It wasn't like I was running sprints. But they wheeled me back there. I said, "Hey, where's the restroom?" And he go use the restroom. I walked down the restroom, used the restroom, washed my hands, came back walking. And I said, "All right, let's go do your CT scan, see what's going on with you." I said, "Well, can I walk? Because it hurts to stand up and sit down. That up and down really was painful." They said, "No, it's like, it's kind of got to go up elevator and all. Let's just, you know, take you on the bed." Okay. So did that, came back. There was a couple of lady friends of mine that I played softball with. Used to love play softball. And we were all sitting there, and the doctor came in, and his eyes were big as a glass. They were just huge. He said, "Man, Mr. Trippett, please don't move." He said, "Your neck's broken in two places." And he said, "If you move, you could be paralyzed from the neck down." And all I could do was start laughing, because, you know, and my friends started laughing. They're like, "Man, you know, just how tough are you walking around?" I said, "Well, it's not me." And that's what the doctor said too. He said, "Man, you got a big, thick neck. You work out all the time, man. That's what saved you." Oh, okay, that helped, but God's what saved me. That's 100%, you know, because we outside him can't do anything. We don't have strength to walk on our own on two feet, per se.
So, but you're saying your neck was broken in two places.
The C3 and C4, and from, I'm not any kind of medical expert, but what the doctors were telling me is that deals with your respiratory system. So it didn't sever the nerve, but it pinched it real hard. Had it severed it, I would either have died instantly or been paralyzed from neck down. So that attitude of gratitude, man, that's amen to that.
I want to ask you if you'll do this, Cameron. Would you pray for believers to really be wise enough to see, like in your case, for example, you almost didn't go to the doctor. And sometimes, especially as men, we think, "Oh, I'm okay." But it's wise to check yourself out when you've been through some sort of injury. Pray for people to walk in wisdom when it comes to our health. Would you pray for that?
Yes, sir. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. God, give us wisdom and discernment, especially us as men, like Pastor Joseph said, to not be macho men, and to really sense your presence, sense when, you know, you're telling us something's wrong, to go and get checked out physically if we need to, or mentally, whatever the case may be, Lord. Just help us not to set that pride aside.
Yes.
As that old song goes, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. So please help us do that. We love you. We praise you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you, the doctor determined that you'd had an injury, a very serious injury at that point then, correct?
Yes, sir. And they didn't want to do, there was a surgery they could do. It was kind of a lengthy surgery. It would have taken a long time to recover. Mm-hmm. It's where they would come in through the front of your neck and then go in through the back and do all this kind of fixing. He said, they ambulance ran me up to Tupelo. And the neurosurgeon, Jason Stacy, said, I think we can fix it with a halo.
Mm.
So I was like, okay. So he said, we'll schedule for surgery on, like, I think it was Monday or something. And so that's what we did. We put the halo on, and that was kind of a unique experience in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to work at Toyota, mm-hmm. and we built cars, and every car is built to certain specifications,
mm-hmm.
and each crucial joint, for example,
I'm going to have to jump in right here, and we'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Cameron Triplett, a servant of the Lord. We'll be right back. Jennifer Meikle with Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Cameron Triplett, who's sharing his journey in walking with the Lord. Brother Cameron, if you'll pick up close to where you left off, and I'm looking forward to you telling us how you went from being a wrestler to a pilot. So go right ahead.
Yes, sir. So anyway, they... At Toyota, they have click wrenches or torque wrenches that they put the cars together with. That's basically what they use, a very small version, to put the screws in through the halo into my skull.
Hmm.
So, he tightened them up till it was to torque, and I ended up staying in that halo for 3 months.
Mm-hmm. That's a device that keeps your head in a certain position, is
it,
that right?
It does. It's got a big, like, chest plate and back plate that kind of keeps you from... You can turn your whole body, but you can't turn your head, so to speak, or you can't turn your neck.
Mm-hmm.
So it just keeps you stabilized, and basically my neck healed on its own. You know, so God worked that out as well. So, but in that time, you know, you don't have the busyness of life like that story. You're sitting there looking at four walls. You know, people are helping you out, godly people bringing you food and just helping you do things.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of extra time to think, and slows you down a little bit, which is good.
And
sometimes.
And during that time, I guess you probably couldn't do much wrestling, right?
No, sir. I couldn't do much wrestling. After about 2 months of being that thing, I was able to push mow the yard a little bit, which my neighbors weren't very happy about. But, you know, I can't sit still. I just got to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a lot of time to think, read a lot of books, wrote a couple of books. And, God, what do you want out of this? You're giving me another chance. You know what I'm saying? Because I should be dead or in a wheelchair. So not that you don't have any chances. If you're not, if you're in a wheelchair, you can still be used by God. But you're restoring me wholly. So what do you want me to do? What can I do? And it just came to me, look, go be a pilot. I said, that's kind of cool. So So I'll do that.
So that's, you heard the Lord direct you to go in that direction.
Let's go be a pilot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. All right. Well, that's, I'm scared of heights. Hmm. So I was like, are you sure?
Oh, yeah. That's a challenge then.
Yeah. So, and I wouldn't stand on top of this building, but in an airplane, it's different. Mm-hmm. It's just different. You can glide it down if the engine goes out. So it's not like you're falling. Mm-hmm. You fall off the building, you could break your neck again. So don't want to do that.
So at that point, you immediately pursued becoming a pilot.
I did. I got out of the halo into the neck brace. I was in a neck brace, halo 3 months, neck brace 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Dad took me to get out of the halo into the neck brace. We came by Tupelo Airport, and I walked in with a neck brace, stiff as a board. Mm-hmm. And said, ma'am, I'd like to inquire about becoming a pilot. And she looked at me like I had three heads and handed me somebody's business card and said, here you go. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that lady was thinking. She's like, man, what kind of people are we letting in here to fly mm-hmm. airplanes? But after I got out of the neck brace, mm-hmm. it was like on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That next Saturday, just a few days after that, I was in a little two-seater Cessna 150 mm-hmm. taking my Discovery flight. Mm-hmm. So...
And so at that point, you started the training?
Started the training. And mm-hmm. I'm not big on debt. So I was working at Toyota at the time, had everything paid for. Mm-hmm. So I just
paid as you went?
I paid as I went. I rented an airplane, paid for the instructor, and I drove down to Columbus, Mississippi every weekend and trained with a fellow. So him and a couple others got me through it, you know, because my schedule, their schedule, the weather, airplane being down for maintenance, whatnot. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we got through it. It and took me about a year to get my private and another year to get my instrument, about 8 more months to get my commercial, and then a few months to get my multi, and just kept flying and building time. And now here I am with, you know, over 5,700 hours. So mm-hmm. I actually fly more than I drive, which I love it, though. It's a great place to be is in the air. Mm-hmm.
You know, Cameron, I really do appreciate you sharing your testimony, your journey in it, because, you know, it's so important for us to understand that at every point in life, the most important thing for us to know, the most important thing in life is God and our relationship to Him.
Amen.
And as we walk with God and listen to God, God always has a plan and He always has direction for us. And, you know, the fact is, it's important that we make the loudest voice in our life God's voice, because the fact is, the devil will try to use whatever voices he can to make you think life is over, this is the end, there's nothing else you can do, you might as well give up. The devil's always trying to discourage us, but God always has not just a good plan, but a great plan for us then. So I want to ask if you'll pray for men and women who may find themselves in a place where they feel like something, a major disappointment has stepped in, a discouragement, maybe a problem that looks like it's throwing a wrench in all their plans. It's so important for them to look to God and say, Lord, show me what the next step is, because God knows what He's doing. Would you pray for men and women in that situation?
Sure, and that's actually one of my prayers, because, well, like I said, we think we can, but we really can't do anything apart from God. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my prayers, you know, on directions to go. God, tell me, shut the doors you won't shut, open the doors you won't open, and give me the wisdom to go through the right door. Don't let me, stray, because Cameron will goof it up, mm-hmm. you know. So, but yeah, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time and opportunity. Thank you for your word, Lord. In 2 Corinthians, Lord, it talks about tough times.
Yes, Lord.
Our times that we go through, our trials, they're to make us stronger. But yes, it's not about us. It's not all about us. It's some about us, but it's not all about us.
Thank you.
Those times in 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 3.
Thank you, Lord.
Chapter 1.
Thank you, Lord.
They're to help other people who could be going through similar times. Yes, Lord. So, Lord, if we can be a blessing and help anyone through struggles that we've been through, help us to do that. Open doors doors and windows so that we can be a blessing to others, Lord, and ultimately share your good news and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for sending him to die on the cross for us so that we can ultimately go to heaven, but while we're here on this earth, do great things through your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for every person that's a part of our listening family. Lord, thank you for the fact that you let us know in your word in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for them who are the called according to his purpose. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a heavenly Father that sees the end from the beginning. And if we would but just put ourselves in your hands and allow you to be the good and great shepherd of our lives, that you're always going to lead us in the right direction to glorify you, to live for your glory, and to bless the world. Thank you for making each one of us to be a gift to you and to the world. And thank you for the fact that as we walk with you, you show us how to live out that giftedness to be the blessing to the world you'd have us to be. Help us to live today and every day in a mode where we're always seeking to listen to your word, to listen to your spirit, and to live with a yes, Lord attitude. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that you always have great plans for us. If we would but listen to you and follow you, you would reveal those plans to us. Help us to seek that great plan and to never succumb to the enemy who tries to tell us that life's not worth living, that life is over, that this problem or this challenge or this difficulty is just too big. Help us to know, Lord, you're a big God. You're a great God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being the wonderful Heavenly Father you are to each and every one of us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Cameron, if someone listening maybe would like to just get in touch with you, they maybe ask you some questions about your testimony or maybe just to express appreciation for you coming on and sharing, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, there's a couple of ways. I do have an email address, tripleslbop@gmail.com. That's tripplesbop@gmail.com. I'm kind of like Phil Robertson. I'm a low-tech man in a high-tech world, so just give me a phone call or a text message if you want, 662-891-3831.
Okay then. And thank you again for coming and sharing just a very interesting story. Sound like maybe one day somebody might make a movie about your life or something, but the fact is a journey that when you trust God, God always has a wonderful conclusion for it, and it's good for us to know. That's true for every believer, not just a few, but every believer as well. So,
amen, 100%.
I want to share once again. I shared at the beginning of the broadcast Psalm 23. I want you to listen to the words of Psalm 23 because they're as simple and beautiful as they are. They have so much wisdom and insight. Psalm 23 tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, thank you for being the good and the great shepherd, a shepherd who can always be trusted. Help us to know, Lord, that in all of life, the most important decision we can make is the decision to give our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And help us to be mindful, Lord, that once we get saved and once we come to know you, our goal is to live a life where we walk very, very closely with you, listening to and following you, our great shepherd. Help us to daily understand that a part of following the shepherd is being in your word every day. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have on this broadcast to encourage believers to go after a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Word daily, knowing that can help them to learn to listen to you. But also, Lord, help us to be people that are listening to your Spirit, Holy Spirit, who speaks to us in the midst of our reading and studying your Word. And help us to be a people that live with a yes, Lord attitude, a commitment to saying, when we know your will, we'll live your will. Thank you for that opportunity. And thank you for us as individual believers to do that. Help us as men and women of God to faithfully do that. But help us as parents to teach our children that Jesus is what life is all about, to teach them how to come to know Christ and then how to grow in their walk with God and to walk and run after Christ in their lives. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that for our lives and as we teach and train our children, help us to be wise enough to help them know that
Life is all about Jesus, knowing Jesus and following Jesus. Help us to be faithful to do that one day at a time. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Cameron, thank you so much again for being with us, and just keep up the great work as you serve the Lord as a pilot.
Thanks for having me. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I invite every listener, pray for Cameron as he continues to be a witness for Christ as a pilot as well. Pray for him and his family as well. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you know you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer even now and then invite Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior? If you would, just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect and be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in the Lord. We definitely hope that you'll get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of either one or both of the articles we shared, again, the first one was entitled Walking Out Your Calling, and the second one, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. If you'd like one or both, again, email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.